The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Real Simple Magazine, Women's Day Magazine, and Food Network Magazine. Just some fun food facts and articles for you. But we're going to start off with a really yummy fall recipe of meatloaf with roasted green beans. So we're going to start with 2 cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of old-fashioned oats, 1 large egg, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar divided, kosher salt and pepper, 1/2 small onion cut into 1-inch pieces, 4 pitted prunes halved, 1/2 cup flat leaf parsley leaves, 1 pound of lean ground beef, 3/4 pounds of green beans trimmed, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of ketchup, smashed potatoes for serving. Heat your oven to 425 degrees. In the food processor, pulse garlic and oats to form fine crumbs. In large bowl, whisk together egg, tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. Stir in oat mixture. Add onion and prunes to food processor and pulse about 6 times to chop. Add parsley and pulse until onion and parsley are finely chopped. Do not puree. Stir into oat mixture. Add beef and mix just until incorporated. Divide mixture into 2 portions. Transfer each to piece of foil and shape into 4.5 by 3-inch loaves. Crimp up foil around loaves, leaving 1-inch border all around. Transfer loaves to rimmed baking sheet and roast for 8 minutes. Move loaves to one side of baking sheet and place the green beans on the other side. Toss the beans with oil and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. In a small bowl, combine ketchup and remaining tablespoon of vinegar and spoon over the loaves. Return to the oven and roast until internal temperature of loaves reaches 155 degrees, 8 to 12 minutes more. Let rest for 5 minutes before slicing. Serve with green beans and potatoes. And here's a tip to make it ahead. Make double the mixture and freeze half for later. Divide saved half between 2 pieces of foil and shape into loaves. Freeze until firm. Then wrap in plastic and foil and freeze for up to 3 months. Thaw in the refrigerator overnight. Place loaves on foil-lined baking sheet and cook and glaze as directed. All right, now from the October issue of Real Simple Magazine, The Power of Less, Coffee-Related Waste. Revamping your Java routine, not eliminating it, has perks for the environment. Odds are you can't start your day without coffee, or your afternoon, or your evening. Americans drink as many as 646 million cups of the stuff every day, and a lot of coffee-related waste results. Whether we brew at home with pods, filters, grounds, or buy from the local cafe, cups, straws, and stir sticks, here's how to get your caffeine fix without breaking the planet. Get to less. Homebrew tip number 1, use fewer filters. With a drip coffee maker, most waste comes from the filters and grounds. Aim to buy only paper filters which can be composted. Better yet, get a reusable mesh or washable cotton version, such as the reusable coffee filter, $13.50 for 2 of them at shopwithgoodintent.com. Used grounds can go into the compost, or you can dry them and place them at the bottom of your trash can to deodorize it. You can even sprinkle a small amount onto the soil of plants like daffodils and azaleas to help nourish them, says Christine Blummer, a senior organics solutions manager at Compost Crew in Rockville, Maryland. Many tea bags are compostable too, but remove the tiny staple on the tab first. Homebrew tip number two, refill your pod. If you have a pod coffee maker, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Switch immediately to a refillable pod like the My K-Cup Universal Reusable Coffee Filter. It's $15 at Keurig.com. So you won't add more pods to the estimated tens of billions already sitting in U.S. landfills. Even recycling them with your plastic is risky, since many recycling facilities can't process them, says Darby Hoover, a senior resource specialist from the Natural Resources Defense Council. If you have an espresso machine, enroll in the company's Send Back program. When you order pods, you also get a pre-posted envelope for your empties, which are then recycled. On the go, Joe, tip number one, suck up to a steel straw. To paraphrase, your Nana's fridge magnet, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the planet. It's estimated that at least 437 million straws pollute the world's coastlines. If you're still using plastic straws, did you miss that viral sea turtle video? Convert to washable stainless steel versions, $10 for three at Avana.com, and carry a few in your bag. As for stirrers, the wooden ones, of course, more biodegradable than the plastic ones, but you can get the job done by carefully swirling your cup around, says Melanie Manarino, author of the Almost Zero Waste Guide. On the go, Joe, tip number two. Your cup runneth with you. Most paper coffee cups are lined with a thin membrane of plastic and therefore not recyclable, Manarino says. So carry around a thermos-style cup like the Traveler from $30 at Swell.com. It keeps drinks hot or cold, which means you'll also avoid sending those plastic iced coffee cups into the waste stream. If you forget your thermos occasionally, it's usually fine to recycle that plastic cup. Just take off the sticker with the botched spelling of your name. A money-saving fridge trick. Raise your hand if you've unearthed forgotten leftovers like last month's or last year's moldy lasagna from the back of the fridge. It's estimated that an American family of four jettisons $1,800 worth of food annually. One way to actually eat all the good stuff is to change how you store things, says Joe Yonan, food and dining editor at the Washington Post and author of Cool Beans. I put all our leftovers in glass jars or containers. I'm trying to avoid buying any new plastic, and glass is so easy to clean, he says. At a quick glance, we know what's inside, which means we'll be more likely to use it. Money saved and less food wasted? Win and win. Now from a Woman's Day magazine, I've got some hydration hacks for you. Tasty ways to drink and eat more H2O. Water is essential to healthy body function. Getting the right amount of fluid is important for your liver, heart, and kidneys, as well as your ability to blink your eyes and flex those muscles. But if sipping water doesn't quite quench your thirst, here's some good news. Certain foods, like these juicy picks, have a high water content and can help you reach your daily hydration goals. Try melon. Cantaloupe, honeydew, and watermelon are about 90% water, and they have key electrolytes to help balance the body's fluid levels. Make a smoothie or try a melon ball sundae topped with Greek yogurt and grated dark chocolate. Try celery. These stalks are packed with water, fiber, and electrolytes. making celery the perfect hydrating and filling snack, crunchy salad topping, or sneaky smoothie add-in. Try radishes. Believe it or not, just one cup of these peppery veggies provides about half a cup of water. They may also help combat fatigue, thanks to folate, which plays a role in energy production. A fresh idea? Roast or grill them. Try zucchini. At more than 90% water, this summer squash is super versatile. Spiralize it into zoodles and toss it with other summer veggies, or grill it on skewers with fruit or bell peppers and meat or fish. Fresh and fun ways to wet your whistle. Sneak in even more fluids with these tasty tricks from Marissa Moore, a registered dietitian nutritionist in Atlanta. Slurp a slushie. It's a sweet way to hydrate in the summer. Blend cubed frozen food with your favorite sparkling water for a refreshing drink. Infuse more taste. Add frozen fruit chunks to flat or sparkling water or unsweetened tea. I love lime sparkling water with frozen mango or peach. And set sip reminders. If you don't always realize when you're thirsty, apps like Waterminder can send you alerts to drink and track your daily intake. I've got another recipe for you. This one is from Real Simple. Chicken and potatoes with brown butter sauce. You'll need 1.5 pounds of fingerling potatoes, 2 tablespoons of olive oil divided, 1¾ teaspoon of kosher salt divided, 1 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper divided, 4 bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs, 1.5 pounds total, 1/4 cup, which is 1/2 stick, of unsalted butter divided, 1/4 cup finely chopped fresh flat leaf parsley, 1/4 cup drained nonpareil capers, 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice from 2 lemons, plus wedges for serving. Preheat your oven to 425 degrees. Toss together the potatoes, 1 tablespoon of oil, and 1/2 teaspoon each of salt and pepper in a large bowl. Season chicken with 1 teaspoon of salt and remaining 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. Heat remaining 1 tablespoon of oil in a large oven-safe skillet over medium. Add the chicken, skin side down. Cook until the skin is golden brown about 7 minutes. Flip chicken and add potatoes to the skillet. Transfer skillet to the oven. Roast until a thermometer inserted in the thickest portion of the chicken registers 170 degrees Fahrenheit. About 25 minutes. Meanwhile, cook 3 tablespoons of butter in saucepan over medium-low, swirling pan occasionally until butter is golden brown and smells nutty, about 5 minutes. Remove from the heat, whisk in the parsley, capers, lemon juice, and remaining 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon of butter. Transfer chicken to a plate. Return skillet to oven. Roast potatoes until tender, about 10 minutes. Serve chicken and potatoes drizzled with brown butter sauce alongside lemon wedges. And now for a fun fall activity, apple picking. With more than 100 types grown in the U.S., the selection at the store can feel overwhelming. Here's how to buy the best apples for every application. Choose wisely. Color isn't a good indicator of ripeness or flavor. Texture is. No matter what the apples are destined for, brown bag lunches or holiday pies, look for fruit that feels firm with no squishy spots, says Jürgen David, a pastry chef and instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education. Many grocery store apples look extra shiny because they're treated with a thin spray of wax, which is edible. For optimal taste and texture, you can try removing the wax with hot water. Alrighty, best for baking. Pink Lady apples are the top grocery store choice for Amy Traverso, author of The Apple Lover's Cookbook, because they retain their shape during long stints in the oven. They hold up well in pies and crisps, and the skin keeps its pink color when baked whole, she says. If she's at a farmer's market, she looks for her all-time favorite, the Northern Spy. It's just a fantastic pie apple. The slices get tender without dissolving, and the flavor is so rich and a little spicy. More top picks for baking? Granny Smith, Braeburn, Golden Delicious, or Jonna Gold. Best for snacking. For a crisp, juicy, sweet tart apple to toss whole into lunch bags, you can't go wrong with a Honeycrisp, one of the most popular, though pricey, apples in the country since its introduction in 1991. But you can also just follow your cravings. If a tart Granny Smith calls your name, perhaps sprinkled with flaky sea salt to tame its sourness, or a tender Macintosh floats your boat, enjoy. Traverso also encourages people to try local, less well-known varieties. Each type has a distinct flavor, from lemon to grape to vanilla to even raspberry, she says. More top picks for snacking? Gala, Fuji, Jazz, and Cosmic Crisp. Best for salads and cheese boards. Key qualities are crispness and resistance to browning, so seek out one of the newer varieties like Opal. They are cultivated to resist oxidation, which is discoloring when cut and exposed to air. Here's a trick for keeping other types of apples fresh in the salad bowl. Coat the slices or chunks in dressing before tossing them with the salad. The acid in the dressing will keep them free of discoloration longer. More top picks for salads and cheese boards? Sweet Tango, Lady Alice, Honey Crisp, and Ginger Gold. And finally, storage smarts. When stored in a cold, dark spot, apples last for weeks, possibly months. If you have a dark cellar, that's the best option, David says. Otherwise, keep them in the fridge's crisper drawer in a paper bag to protect them from light. Since one bad apple truly does spoil the barrel, be sure the fruit is dry before storing, and use any with blemishes first. Traverso notes that some newer varieties, like Cosmic Crisp and Crimson Crisp, are excellent keepers, and if stored properly, can last for up to a year. In season, turn it up. Turnips have a peppery bite and are ripe for picking this time of year. Shop for small ones that feel heavy for their size. The smaller the turnip, the more tender and sweet it will be. If the greens are attached, they should be brightly colored. Store roots in a cool, well-ventilated area or wrap tightly and refrigerate for up to 2 weeks. Remove greens and store separately in a bag for up to 3 days. Cook diced turnips in butter, bake slices into a gratin, or roast wedges, drizzle with good olive oil, and scatter with a handful of herbs. As for the greens, braise, steam, or stir-fry them. All right, I've got one more recipe for you, and this is from the October issue of Real Simple. It's a good time for some chicken soup once the temperatures start to drop. This is an easy dinner for two, salsa verde chicken soup. Takes about 35 minutes and it serves four. It's freezable, it's make ahead, and it's gluten-free and family friendly. 1 tablespoon of canola oil, 1 pound of boneless, skinless chicken thighs cut into 1-inch pieces, 1 cup of chopped white onion, 3 cups of unsalted chicken broth, 1 15-ounce can of no-salt-added pinto beans, drained and rinsed, 1 15-ounce can of white hominy, drained and rinsed. 1 cup of jarred salsa verde. 1/2 a cup of chopped fresh cilantro, divided. 1 tablespoon of fresh lime juice. 1 avocado, chopped. And crushed tortilla chips for serving, and that's optional. Heat oil in a large saucepan over medium high. Add chicken and onion, cook, stirring often until chicken is cooked through, beginning to brown slightly, and juices have mostly evaporated, 8 to 10 minutes. Stir in the broth, beans, hominy, and salsa verde. Bring the mixture to a boil over medium high. Reduce heat to medium and cook until hot, about 5 minutes. Stir in 1/4 cup chopped cilantro and lime juice. Serve in bowls topped with avocado, remaining 1/4 cup of cilantro, and, if desired, tortilla chips. Now I've got something about a fruit for the fall. What a pear! Try caramel pears instead of caramel apples this year. Microwave 10 ounces of unwrapped soft caramels with 1 tablespoon of half and half, stirring every 20 seconds until smooth. Pour into a wide mug. Then quickly dip 4 pears in the caramel. Sprinkle with chopped pistachios and let set on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Here's something interesting for you. Imitation game. In the last 2 years, more than 100 lawsuits have been filed about, of all things, vanilla. Vanilla lovers are accusing companies of sneaking imitation vanilla into products instead of using the real deal. Many cases have been dismissed on the grounds that vanilla refers to a flavor, not an actual ingredient. But at least one company, Khalifa Farms, agreed to change its packaging and issue refunds worth $3 million. Next time you make vanilla frosting, try using imitation vanilla and see if you can taste the difference. And from the October issue of Food Network magazine, I've got new on the shelf. Check out these just-released groceries and goods. October 11th is Indigenous Peoples Day, an Indigenous marketplace. Discovering and supporting Native American-owned businesses just got easier. The Denver restaurant Tokabe has launched a marketplace with meat and pantry items from Native producers around the country, including maple syrup from Zimbijiwang Farms in Michigan, honey from Seca Hills in California, and tepary beans from Ramona Farms in Arizona. Shop Tocabe.com. That's shop, TOCABE.com. Shortcut bagels. Making bagels at home is not as hard as it sounds. The New Jersey chain O Bagel and San Diego-based Cali Bagels have both developed just-add-water bagel mixes. $20 for a pack of two, abagelmix.com, or $22 for a pack of two from CaliBagels.com, and Farm Study sells a slightly more involved rainbow bagel kit with baking mix, yeast, and food dye. That's $30 at FarmStudy.com. Supermarket arrivals. Kellogg's cereal straws? The beloved early 2000s snack is back on the shelves in Fruit Loops and Cocoa Crispy flavors. Nestle Toll House Pumpkin Spice Latte flavored morsels and more. This mix of white chocolate chips, coffee biscuits, and pumpkin spice chunks taste great in a baked goods or right from the bag. Next Level Mutt Butter. Molly Ye is obsessed with marzipan and sprinkles, so she partnered with Ground Up to create an almond cashew butter inspired by the combo. you can feel extra good about buying a jar. Ground Up provides job training for women experiencing homelessness and other forms of adversity. And finally, a cheesy gift. You can now give your cheese-loving friends just what they want, a bust of themselves made of cheddar. Cheese carver Sarah Kaufman is working with the snack company Wisps and taking commissions October 1st through December 10th. A 3-to-4-pound creation will cost you $200 plus shipping. And that's wisps.com, W-H-I-S-P-S.com. The secret to great kimchi. Kimchi gets more flavorful as it ripens, but chilling slows down the process. So store-bought refrigerated kimchi can taste bland straight out of the jar. Ji-Yoon Jackie Park recommends leaving kimchi on your counter for a few days before you use it. It'll be deliciously tangy and sour. A green tomato primer. Tart green tomatoes, the one used for fried green tomatoes, are underripe red tomatoes, not to be confused with green heirlooms. The tart ones are firm and pale in color. Green heirlooms are softer and may have stripes or other colors. We love fish sauce. This salty condiment can work magic in a sauce. It adds a bit of brininess, a slight fermented flavor, and lots of umami. It's the secret to making caramelized chicken. Serve corn raw. When corn is in season, you don't have to cook it. Just cut the kernels off the cob. Jessica D'Ambrosio tosses raw kernels with a vinaigrette and tops with a goat cheese. Try it now while corn is at its best. And some current obsessions from Food Network magazine, ceramic pie weights. These are worth the investment for pie bakers. They make blind baking so easy. No more rice or dried beans all over the place. A serrated paring knife. Add this knife set to your knife set. If you don't have one, we use ours constantly. It's great for slicing cherry tomatoes, hulling strawberries, having grapes, and so much more. And finally, squeeze bottle tahini. Jarred or canned tahini requires stirring, which can get messy. New bottled versions just need a quick shake. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.